Hey, Grant Cardone here. I want to let you know that I'm going to be speaking at the 8% Nation Insurance Conference in Nashville, October. I'm going to fly in just to meet with you guys and gals, to talk to you about how to blow your business up, how to dominate the marketplace. Go to 8%nation.com. That's 8%nation.com to reserve your space today. I want you there. I expect you to be there. Your family needs you to be there. Nashville, October.
To see Grant Cardone and other big hitters like NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis at the 8% Nation Insurance Conference, visit 8%nation.com and use promo code ACADEMY to get $100 off your ticket price. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Insurance Academy Podcast with Ryan Madison and Colin Meyer. Tune in every Monday at 7:30 a.m. Central Standard Time to get the knowledge, skills, and advice you need to be successful in the insurance business.
Oh boy, am I excited for that conference. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Insurance Academy Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Madison.
I'm your co-host, Colin Meyer.
We're going to be talking about something that's near and dear to my heart, and that's some good old-fashioned drive and work ethic. We got Matt Munguia and Tommy Schubert with us here in the studio today to talk more about why drive and hard work is essential in this business. 92% of all agents fail out of the business within 2 years, and these two gentlemen are part of the 8% that made it. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet. So I'm going to start with you, Matt. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I think a lot of our listeners heard you and your backstory on the first episode, but go ahead and kind of fill us in for maybe some of those listeners who don't know who you are.
Yeah, Ryan and Colin, I appreciate y'all having me on again. I like what y'all are doing, and I've been listening to some of the other podcasts, and they're well put together. So, yeah, a little bit about me. I own the insurance squad and half owner of 360. MedicareSolutions.com. So we do it all, from anything from Medicare to life insurance, final expense, mortgage protection, and everything in between. Been doing this I'm coming up on approaching my 13th year in the business, and here to help as many agents as I possibly can.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Tell us about yourself, Tommy.
Hey, guys. Also, you know, just like what Matt said, I really appreciate you guys inviting me on. It's such a pleasure and honor, and I've been following your podcast for a while, and they're great, great content, especially for all those agents out there that may be a little bit seasoned or veterans, but also for those agents that are just getting their start. I really appreciate your vision and mission to really equip them with tools that will make them successful in business, because, guys, that's what it's all about here. You know, a little bit about myself is that, you know, I have a background in the public sector. I was in the military and then a police officer for a good number of years, and, you know, after I got hurt in line of duty, you know, I have a drive and work ethic that doesn't allow me to quit and give up. So I taught high school for a couple of years and freshman college, and got an opportunity to go into sales. And the first 5 months, I made more money than I'd ever made in my life in an entire year. And I said, well, I think I have something here. And I ventured into the insurance world and started off in mortgage protection. Had a really great, successful career doing that. And I found a home, you know, not Medicare, but the final expense side of the business, and then adding Medicare in, you know, down the road. But, you know, it's been a great, great opportunity for not only myself, but also my family. And I'm so glad to be here and getting out there to enjoy helping folks and do the things that we do every day.
How long were you doing teaching as well as insurance? How long was that overlap?
So, you know, I taught for about 3 years. And then I got an opportunity for a fellowship at Johns Hopkins, and so I moved back to the U.S. I was actually teaching in Germany at the university there, and also an international school. And when I got here into the D.C. area, man, the cost of living here is crazy. And my stipend at Johns Hopkins just wasn't enough. And so I responded to a Craigslist ad for in-home food sales, and I'm like, man, I've never done sales before, but my goodness, I got to do something to make money for my family. You know, I can't, we're going to starve. So I did that, and like I said, I haven't looked back since. Absolutely love what I'm doing, and yeah, I've been in insurance now since 2014. So
that's awesome, man. So for this question is kind of for both of you. You guys can maybe I'll just point this question at you a little bit. When Matt and I were talking, we were just talking on the side, and he started talking about drive and work ethic, and I'm like, man, that would be the perfect topic for the show. And Matt's like, I could talk about that all day long. So, Matt, kind of tell us, you know, the topic of the show today is drive and work ethic. Why is that important in this business? And maybe you guys could both answer this one. You want to start,
yeah,
Matt?
I think that it's the number one trait. I mean, me as an agent, if I could pick one thing, if I was starting out brand new agent, you know, know nothing about the business, I mean, from scratch, you know, I would pick the work ethic trait, because a lot of that is it's either in you or it's not. And, you know, so you can overcome a lot of obstacles with that one trait, you know. So you don't have to be the most, you know, sharp dress. You could be scruffy, you know, all that you can change. But work ethic and drive, a lot of it, it's either you have it or you don't. Now, sometimes, you know, seeing some success is a great motivator that, you know, that can, you know, add to that. And you can piggyback on that once you see success and you take things to the next level and you work harder and things like that. But right out of the gate, I believe it is the number one most important trait of all to have. And if you could have, you know, start an agent with one thing and you could choose it for him, that'd be the number one trait I'd take.
What are your thoughts on that, Tom?
Yeah, you know, I think Matt is definitely correct there. I mean, you know, here's the thing: in sales, no matter what platform you're on or what industry in sales that you're in, you know, you always hear everyone talk about this thing called numbers. It's a numbers game. Well, the reality of numbers is that you have to have numbers in order for it to be a numbers game. And, you know, the dangerous side of the insurance business, there's a lot of beautiful things about it. There's the freedom that comes along with it. There's a phenomenal income potential. But all of those things are based upon the numbers that you're able to put up. Well, numbers in the insurance world is how many people can you see in a day? And the thing that I see a lot of agents do, and a lot of reasons why I see that 92% fail, is it comes down to work ethic. It comes down to, are they getting up off the couch? Because in the insurance business, you know, it's all based upon the leads that you get, how many people you're going out to see, are you door knocking, are you setting appointments? What is your activity level? What are you doing each and every single day to get out there and do something? And the problem is that a lot of folks, they don't have the drive or the work ethic to get started. There's always excuses. Or, you know, every day I hear this excuse. I'm like, no, I don't want to know why. I want to know why you're not doing it. What can we do to fix this? And a lot of times it's a mentality of just working hard. You know, if they get up off the couch and get out there and they do it, you're going to succeed. But if you sit around and you get boggled down by life, you know, I tell folks all the time, you know, some of my agents, I said, hey, listen, the number one thing you can do for yourself is to create a schedule. Yes, you're in business for yourself. Yes, you have a lot of freedom in this job. But don't allow that freedom to destroy your success by not making a schedule and sticking to it. You have to treat this like it's any other job out there.
Dude, I couldn't agree more. Matt, start this one off for us. Is there some experiences that you've seen that kind of demonstrate why you think drive and work ethic are important?
Yeah, I mean, I will say that my experience is that if you lack that trait, I mean, usually those are the agents that either are failing out of the business, you know, the 92%, as they say, or an agent that will never realize their full potential. You know, agents, they have to have a goal or a desire to help push them to the next level. You know, I see myself in some of this talk that we're doing today is, you know, I felt like I never, you know, there was a time in my career where I was just kind of plateaued. I was just kind of cruising along, as they say. You know, it wasn't until I told myself, hey, I deserve more, and I want more for my family, that I put things in overdrive. And you know, Tommy alluded to it earlier, it's whoever gets in front of more people wins this game. You know, it's all about, you know, who can help more than the next guy. And that's when I put things in overdrive. I said, you know, I had to be honest and real with myself and let myself know that I had a lot more potential than what I was showing, and I needed to get in front of a lot more people. And that's when I upped my lead order. And, you know, my knowledge and my skills were the exact same. The only difference was I was putting in more work hours and getting in front of more people. Sometimes it's as simple as that. And are you willing to do that? There's a lot of agents out there that are listening to this right now, and you know, and they're like, yeah, that's probably me. I mean, that sounds just like me. Now, the next step and the next question is, are they willing to now take their game to the next level and get in front of more people. You know, it doesn't have to be buying leads. Maybe it's referrals, or they start doing some senior centers. But they have to be willing to get in front of more people somehow, and work those extra hours.
Right.
So that's the next question.
Have you met anybody that kind of exemplifies? Is there any stories from anybody that you think kind of is like the quintessential explanation of, drive and work ethic?
Probably the guy that comes to mind is Gatlin. Gatlin, it's kind of the guy, the first person I ever really recruited to the Final Expense game. He's been with us for over 5 years, I guess going on 6 years now. He lives in Colorado now, but he started out right here in San Antonio. And, I knew he was going to make it. I knew he was going to make it because when we first started off, he came and rode with me because he wasn't even licensed. I mean, he was a massage therapist. And my wife knew him and said, hey, I think this guy would probably be a good fit for what you do. So I took him along and gave him a couple rides in my car, show him what I did. And he's like, yeah, I can do this. I know I can do this. So he went and got licensed and all that kind of thing. But, when he was, at the time, there was no Facebook leads at that time. There was no... a lot of the stuff that's out today, we didn't have all that. So he kind of just had to put a lead order in and wait for leads. And so while he was waiting for leads, he was still doing his massage therapy thing. But he would get a list and on his off days, he'd go and just park and on the end of a block and just start cold door knocking up and down the streets and getting beat up and getting rejected we're in San Antonio, Texas. You're talking about 100 degrees out there door knocking. So, he would do that continuously. So, that showed me that this guy's different than the rest. This guy's going to make it. And, here he is. He's won, the top agent for Trinity and Family Benefit Life 2 years in a row, the only agent that's ever done that. I think he's in second place right now behind a guy on our team. So he has a very good shot at repeating as their number one agent. But, I knew he'd make it because that showed me that he was in it to win it.
And now you said he's been in the business for 6 years now?
Yep, going on 6 years.
And he's the number one agent 2 years in a row. So, I mean,
let me piggyback on that before I forget. Sorry to cut you off.
But no, you're good.
I want to throw this out there for those that don't know his story. I will also add that he was in a major car accident and had a major back surgery, and he's very limited on what he's able to do and not do. And, he can't sit there and door knock as much at all like a lot of us can. So, at this point, it's a disability for him, and it slows him down. I mean, it would be scary to know what he is able to do if he was able to add a lot more door knocks to the system. So, but that just goes to show you the guy has no excuses. I mean, he doesn't really use that as an excuse. It is what it is. That's the hand he's been dealt, and he deals with it the best way possible. So, all these guys that are out there with no real disabilities, I mean, they have no excuse is the way I see it.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, Tommy, can you think of some examples of behaviors that we should be looking to improve? And what does that look like?
I'm glad you asked that question. I think it comes down to a couple factors. I think what separates the 8% from the 92% a lot of times is just that mindset of having the proper work ethic, the proper drive to succeed. There's a couple books that I started off with when I first got into the insurance business, and not to do any kind of plugs or anything, but it's one of the top books I give to all my agents. Actually, it's How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling by Frank Fetcher.
Mm-hmm.
And another one is, and I'm a big fanboy to say that, of Simon Sinek, and it's To Start with Why.
Oh yeah.
And both those things, one book is about this guy who just was average, just basically an average guy, average Joe, that walks in there and he develops this work ethic that he determined himself that I will work harder than anyone else and I will be better than anyone else. Well, you see, in that situation, work ethic was a determining factor to his success, but really what was ultimately the factor was a drive within himself to be the best, not for anyone else, but for himself. And many times I think that's a quality that is developed by what is your why? We all have reasons that we do things, but what is the reason you do insurance? Why are you here? What is your goal? What is your purpose? When you go and sit down with a family and you're sitting across from the table from them, what are you there to do? You know, I tell folks all the time, when you get into a home and you start doing your, you know, your warm-up and you start doing your investigative questions to figure out what it is that you're there to do, always know why you're there. Why are you doing this? What is it that, what are you wanting to do for that client? And then, you know, and again, to plug into the guy who's going to be there at that 8% Nation Conference, Grant Cardone, I mean, it's 2X rule, guys. It's all about multiplying your action, your effort, and it all comes down to that. And I think that if you can develop the mentality to be successful within your own self and figure out why it is that you want to be there, why it is you want to have those things, and you hold on to that. Every day when you wake up, you look at that list you make for yourself of why I'm here, what are my goals, what do I need to do to achieve these things. You can't help but have the work ethic that you need to be successful. And that's what it's going to come down to, whether you fail or whether you succeed.
So Grant Cardone is one of my favorite authors, and I've studied him extensively over the last 4 or 5 years. And he always talks about, you know, people's why, expanding on what you're saying, is if you don't have a dream that's big enough to keep your attention, you're going to lose your attention. If you don't have a big enough payoff at the end, why are you going to keep doing it? For 50 grand a year, you're going to lose your drive. If you're working 18, 19 hours a day, and that's the big payoff is 50 grand a year, you're probably going to lose interest at some point because you're still scraping by, still starving.
Well, your purpose is huge. Like if you say, oh, I want to make 30 grand this year, and that's your only goal, you're not going to want to work very hard at all because it doesn't take very much work to make 30 grand. And Tom, you know that as a teacher, as a former teacher, because a teacher's salary is hardly a drop in the ocean. So,
My best year in teaching, I would say, is having a master's degree plus 30 hours in my PhD work and stuff. You know, you get you're at all these steps, and you get extra bonus points for your degree in education. And even then, even in the Washington, D.C. area, you know, my starting salary is around $72,000 a year, which in some parts of the U.S., that sounds like a whole buttload of money. But in Washington, D.C., that's not starving. You know, the cost of living here is just so expensive. And you know, it's so funny. I remember when I got a job offer from Alexandria City Schools to teach biology there. And they came out with an offer of $72,000 a year, well, with coaching, because I was with a $68,000 a year plus another $4,000 a year because I was going to be an assistant football and baseball coach there for their school. And then I got a job offer from that in-home food sales company that was, it's 100% commission. You got to drive to meet all your clients. You don't make anything if you don't sell anything, but we guarantee if you follow our system, you'll make $75,000 your first year, potentially more, $100,000 your second year, and then on. And I remember I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm thinking, man, I've never sold nothing in my life. I've got a guaranteed job. I've got a guaranteed income. But then I sat there and realized, I said, you know what? I believe more in myself. I believe I'm worth more than this. Now, you've got to keep in mind, I'd never made more than that in my life. And in my first 5 months in sales, I made over $70,000. And I realized, holy crap, just because I believe enough in myself, that I went out there and I worked my butt off and I broke every sales record in the entire food industry. And they were thinking, man, what are you doing? What are you doing something illegal? How are you making all these sales? And what it came down to was that I had a why. I knew why. That my family needed to eat. I needed to succeed. Failure was not an option, they say, but it wasn't that failure was an option. I was not afraid to fail whatsoever. I was afraid that I wouldn't achieve what I had determined for myself.
Yeah.
And that's what drove me to just not give up. And that every day I approached that, and I kept that in my mind, and I kept that mindset, man, and it's paid off tremendously. I don't think I've made less than six figures ever since.
Well, tell me, are you suggesting that, you know, the drive and work ethic is something that's not an inherent trait, but it's something that's learned?
I think it's both. You know, I would, if I'm being honest, you know, I grew up on a farm, you know, in Texas, where I'm from originally, and I think that work ethic was instilled at a young age. You know, I grew up with used clothes. We grew a lot of our own food. You know, my first pair of tennis shoes that I owned that were was actually in the eighth grade. I had spent an entire summer shoveling horse crap. You know, for those that know what that means, I was mucking stalls. And I got my first pair of Reeboks, which are now called Reebok Classics. You know, and then my next pair was the Reebok High Tops with a little, you know, with a little basketball pump on the tongue of the shoe. I thought I was hot stuff, man. But it came down to is, you know, my parents, we were very poor, you know, and my father was a carpenter, and you know, he said, look, if you ever want anything in life, son, you got to work for it. And you know, my father's no longer with us, and dude, that's one of the reasons why I got into the insurance business. But you know, he had no life insurance when he passed away, and I had to pay out of pocket completely.
Yep.
You know, it came down to that. I think that some of it is the environment you grow up in, but to be honest, I think 95% of it is yourself. You got to develop that mentality. You got to develop that rock star mindset, and it comes down with, hey, what are you willing to do to succeed? Stop waiting for an entitlement. Yeah, that's, I think, one of the things that's wrong in our country is everyone's looking for a handout. Everyone's looking for something. Someone owes you something. No one owes you crap. You owe yourself.
Yep.
Get out there. Put your hand out there. But use it to go to work, not for waiting for someone to hand you something.
Yeah, I completely agree, Matt. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I like Tommy. I have always worked 100% commission. I don't know. I grew up in a very sports-minded environment, and so for me, 100% commission just made total sense because you're competing. You know, you compete against yourself, you compete against your peers, and I've always, nobody's had to really push me or drive, you know, sit there and push the drive button on me for me to go and try to compete and win, you know. So I'm with Tommy. I think there's a little bit of both, though. I mean, you know, I think that there's some people, including myself, that can get complacent. But for the most part, you either have that will to fight and drive, or you have to have something that pushes you. You know, like it sounds like me and Tommy's case are kind of the same. It was, you know, hey, I want to do more for not only myself, but for my family. You know, I wanted to, you know, there was a neighborhood here in San Antonio that I always, you know, it was just north of us from where we lived. I mean, we keep moving north and north and north, which is better, better, better areas, you know. But, I mean, we lived in a rough neighborhood. I went the other day and took a snapshot picture of where we used to live in a $90,000, I think it was an $89,000 house where we first started. I first started my career, and to where we are now. And a lot of that is drive and focus. You just want more. And, you know, but some of it's instilled in you. And like Tommy said, some of it you have to find, you know, something bigger than yourself to get you to the next level.
Well, in this industry, it's, I mean, the income isn't guaranteed, where with a yearly salary, you have guaranteed income. But what is guaranteed is if you put all the work in, then you're going to succeed beyond all measure. But it's all about you and your own decisions. So,
can I add something to what you just said, buddy?
Yeah, go for it.
And I want to say this, and that's going to be a very bold statement for the listeners that are out there right now. Let me explain something. Your income can be guaranteed in this business. With the proper work ethic and drive, I'm telling you, you will not fail. But I can guarantee you also, if you don't adapt those behaviors, if you don't adapt that into your daily work ethic and daily life for what you do each and every single day, I can guarantee you're going to fail. And you do need to stick with a job that's going to give you a guaranteed income. But if you're willing to do things that other people are not, and willing to just push even a little bit harder, I mean, you know, for me, back in the day when I was a police officer, or even a teacher, you know, I look at my kids and they're so proud of their dad, you know, being a police officer and then being a teacher. Oh, man, my dad's a teacher. He's teaching this new, you know, the thing is so cool. But when I was coaching, you know, and my team, I took them to the European National Championships there in baseball. And, you know, my kids were the most proudest kids ever. But let me tell you something. When I got into working for myself and into sales and into the insurance business and the money that I've made, you know, you would think that my kids would be like, oh, we have so many nice things. That's not what makes my kids happy. What makes my kids happy is that, man, my dad works really hard, but he also plays really hard. He's got so much time to spend with us. We get to go on vacations. We get to travel. We get to do all these different things. You know, I go kill it for 3 days a week. And I wish I could say I work harder than that, but I work really hard for 3 days a week going out and seeing my clients. And I got 4 days that I can just play it up with my kids. And let me tell you something. If that doesn't motivate you, then you need to get something that's more guaranteed than the guarantee that if you work hard, you're going to make a lot of money in this business.
So was there ever a time that you didn't feel like getting out there and, like, you just wanted to quit?
Absolutely. absolutely. I mean, there's times when I had an opportunity, you know, in the food industry. You know, I'd gotten into mortar protection with an IMO, and I was doing extremely well. And I got recruited to come back into the food industry to run a company, and I jumped at the opportunity to do that. And I had a guaranteed income of a little over $100,000 a year, plus a lot of bonuses, and it bought me a nice, you know, Mercedes, and I grew their company from $4 million a year to $8 million a year in sales, and absolutely loved it. But man, I was working 78 hours a week. Well, when I first got back into insurance, I went back into final expense, and I remember, you know, when I first got back, the first batch of leads I got, I had got these leads in Maryland, and I live in Virginia, and man, it's one of the worst areas in the country when it comes to crime and I guess AIDS and HIV, and I was just getting my mind transitioned from mortgage protection over to final expense, and I was like, man, what the heck was I thinking? Now I've got a guaranteed, you know, almost 200 grand a year, 200 plus a year, 300,000 a year in the next 1 or 2 years if I stayed in the food business. But, you know, I realized, it's like, you know, I'm giving up a lot of time. I'm giving up a lot of things that I really, you know, my why for doing what I was doing in the sales industry was to have more time with my family and to provide them a life that I could only have dreamed of growing up. And I realized that I was selling myself out for money. But what if I could have both?
Yep.
What if I could have money and time? So I realized, you know what, I'm not going to let this first batch of leads define my career. I'm just going to keep working hard. I'm going to buy more and go back at it. And so, yeah, there's times I think every agent, and I'm sure Matt can attest to this, that we get that mindset. Even the top guys out there, man, we get beat up. You know, we go out there, and I love when I take an agent for a ride-along and I have a really crap day, and they look at me and they're like, man, that was horrible. I'm like, I know, but did you see my bank account? Did you see the leaderboard? These things happen, guys, even to the best of us. But what that leaderboard will tell you, what my bank account will tell you, is that that's just part of the process, part of the business. I'll take half the year of those days because look what the other half of the year does. You know,
you got it, man.
Don't get lost in those days. Just make that drive to know you're going to work hard and that the success will be just right around that corner, or the next lead that you go knock on that door, or the next person you go see.
You got it, man. Matt, was there ever a time that you just felt like not getting out there? That maybe that you wanted to quit?
Well, being in the business almost 13 years, yeah, there's been a bunch of them. So, I mean, you can imagine. But, you know, there was a time about a few years ago that I always look back to. It's a time when, you know, because I get agents now that say, man, I've been on six appointments, I've done five presentations in a row and no sales. You know, and my response to them is that's okay. That's part of the business. You have to go through that in order to get the sales. I mean, I'll never forget a time when I went 0-for-12. And I'm not talking about 12 appointments. I'm talking about 12 sit-down presentations. You know, so I was, you know, actually, so that's probably 15 or 20 appointments with no sales. You know, so I sat down and did a presentation. 12 times in a row, I got rejected. You know, and, you know, most people haven't gone through 12 sit-down presentation rejections in a row like I have.
A lot of people don't understand. That's like 30, 40 leads at $30 a pop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a big slap in the face. And so, you know, I liken it to Babe Ruth, you know, who was the king of strikeouts. But nobody knows that he was the king of strikeouts, right? They only know that he was Mr. Home Run. You know, but he led the league in strikeouts, I think, 2 or 3 years in a row or something like that. I'd have to go back and look at the stats. But that's what he's not known for. That. He's known for, you know, banging home runs. But, you know, so that's the way it is. And I think that was the year, don't mistake me, but it might have been the year where I broke that final expense record or maybe the year before. But either way, you have to go through that time. So yeah, there's times where I'll hang it up. You know, I'm just like, you know what, I'm done, and I'll quit for 3, 4, sometimes 5 days, and I come back re-energized and ready to hit the ground running. Because I mean, I'm not going to actually quit the business per se, but I do get frustrated just like anyone else.
Yeah,
and I hang it up for a few days and just mentally take a break from everything, and then I end up coming back stronger. So it's okay to quit, you know, as long as you're not quitting for good, then I think it's healthy, actually.
I couldn't agree more. I remember when I first joined your team, I was having some struggles out in the field, and I called you just to get some advice, and you're like, man, you're in the major leagues. you're going to get hit with the ball every once in a while. You're not going to get home runs unless you get hit with the ball every once in a while.
Well, we have to cut to break here. So when we come back, we are going to ask Matt about the types of agents that he recruits and what kind of behavior he looks for when recruiting new agents. Don't go away.
Did you know that addiction is the number one health crisis in America today? Hi there. This is Monty Meyer, CEO of Take 12 Recovery Radio, the world's original recovery talk and positive music radio station, on the front lines of breaking the stigma that is addiction. For valuable information on the solution that is recovery, interviews with clinicians, celebrities, authors, recording artists, and folks just like you and I who love those living with addictive illness, tune into any of our shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Where? At take12radio.com on your internet dial.
Hey there, it's Dave Duford with Final Expense Agent Mentor, and you're listening to the Insurance Academy podcast, the only place where you can get the knowledge, skills, and advice to be successful in the insurance business.
Welcome back to the Insurance Academy podcast. That was our good friend Dave Duford at Final Expense Agent Mentor. Check out his show on insuranceacademypodcast.com to learn more about his Inner Circle program and his Final Expense Training YouTube channel. Matt, we got a question for you coming back here from the break. For all the new agents listening who feel that they may not have a whole lot of experience in the field, what do you think they need to do to compensate for their lack of experience and knowledge to make sure that they are part of the 8% who make it in this business?
Yeah, like I mean, it goes back to work ethic and drive. I mean, you can overcome a lot of obstacles with that one trait. You know, so if that means going and cold door knocking or doing senior center presentations, but I think for new agents, you know, I've always said this, and I'm sure everybody on the telephone would agree, the ultimate goal and the safety net is once you get on direct mail. So that should, if you're coming into the industry brand new with little to no money, your first goal should be to somehow find a way to make enough money and survive. That means, you know, the Dave Ramsey way, you know, survive on beans and rice to do it and save everything you do make. The ultimate goal, the first goal should be to jump on a lead order, because I've been in the business for a long time. And that is, you know, everybody that's doing something special with business, you know, most everyone is on a standing direct mail lead order. It's the king of all leads. So, you know, use that passion, the drive to somehow get in front of more people and jump on a lead order.
And you're talking about Final Expense, Medicare. I mean, all of them kind of use direct mail, or is it mostly just life insurance with direct mail?
I'm talking Final Expense right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Medicare has its own and separate obstacle, you know, where it depends on, you know, so Medicare is a whole different realm where, you know, it depends if you're talking to a face-to-face agent or over the phone, you know, sales agent. But I'm talking about face-to-face Final Expense agents right now.
Yeah. So you're saying that we need to get more leads if we're struggling. Obviously, we want the right training and stuff to make sure we're doing the right things when we're in front of people. But we need to get in front of more people. And so you're saying we need to get on a direct mail lead order, and we need to just keep working those leads?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's other ways to do it, just like anything else, right? I mean, you know, but yeah, I mean, the ultimate goal, starting out, if you don't have the money right away, if you do have the money right away, jump on a direct mail lead order. I mean, I'd like to hear what Tommy has to say about this. You know, Tommy, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I'll tell you what I did. I mean, you know, when I first came into Final Expense, you know, mortgage protection, you were only getting a couple leads a week, you know, around what we called A leads, you know, 10 A leads a week and so forth. And, you know, when I got into Final Expense, if you got 10 leads a week, you were going to starve. You know, you need more people to see. And, you know, so what I did when I first, you know, got into the business was I bought a bunch of bonus leads, You know, and I realized that, you know, I kind of employed Thomas Edison's mindset. You know, everyone, when they ask Thomas Edison, you know, man, you failed 1,000 times when you were creating the light bulb. And he says, no, I didn't fail 1,000 times. I just had 1,000 steps to get there. I approach it the same way. You know, it's that I knew that I was going to make mistakes. And making mistakes is going to make me better. Failing is going to make me closer to success. And so I bought a ton of bonus leads. I knew that there was maybe a gym here or there, but most of what I was going to be dealing with, I was going to get beat up a hell of a lot. But I wasn't afraid of getting beat up because I knew the more I got beat up, the stronger it was going to make me, the more I was going to learn, and most importantly, I was going to screw up on leads that didn't cost me so much. But guys, I'm going to be honest, I got on direct mail right away. I mean, I think I did some marketing leads here or there just to fill in the gaps, but I bought a bunch of bonus leads. I bought a bunch of leads that were in an area that an agent had kind of failed, and I said, I got them on a great discount. And I said, look, I'll take all of them, and I'll even be honest with you, Matt, I don't know if you know this, but there was a point in time where when I first got started, I had to make an option. Either I believed enough in myself or I didn't. I took my mortgage payment and I used my mortgage payment to buy leads. And if I wouldn't have made it, I'd have lost God knows what. But I'm going to tell you, I did that once because I believed enough in myself, and I've never looked back, and I needed enough places to go and enough people to see in order to be successful, and that's kind of how I got started.
That's awesome, man. Thanks for sharing that with us. I think the biggest problem that agents have is they come into this business and they focus on trying to just be a salesperson rather than running their practice like a business. And so there's basically six, and I'm curious, Tommy, if you agree, there's basically six fundamental skills that people need to master. The first skill is getting an opportunity to set an appointment, whether that's like on a door knock or on the phone or the senior center. The second is actually setting the appointment. The third is the underwriting skills necessary to write the correct business. And the fourth, sales process and sales skills during the presentation, last closing the deal, and the sixth most important, most commonly forgot is follow-up. Those are basically the six things that we need to master doing final expense sales. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, so, I mean, it's reps and sets. So if you study Arnold Schwarzenegger at all, you've got the same exact muscle groups every single time you go to the gym. You only got one body. And all it is about reps and sets. How many repetitions can you do? How many sets can you do? How many times can you do that? And it is, and it's funny, when I was talking with Matt the other day, he's like, it's boring, but it's a necessity. And I think that's just it. I mean, it's boring and tedious and repetitive, and it can be very stressful at times. But, once you get past the hard work and without the drive, I mean, you need to get into the daily grind, get stuck in the daily grind. And all it takes is working really hard for a short period of time to be able to get out of that grind and break the cycle. Both of you guys kind of exemplify that. You worked really, really hard to get to a point to where you no longer have to go in the field. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, the average final expense case, commission is or annual premium, I should say, is around close to $700, right? So, I mean, how many sales does it really take in order to, I keep going back to this and, but getting on a lead order, right? So like what Tommy said, he got aged leads, so you do what it takes, I've taught several guys that came in dead broke. I said, okay, well, here's what you need to do. Here's a game plan. You need to be doing 2 to 3 senior centers a week. And whatever you do this month will affect you next month, because you're not going to get in right away. They're going to tell you to come back next month. So, you got to have a game plan. You got to be with somebody that knows what they're doing and talking about. But, yeah, I mean, it's not going to take long. I mean, a few short sales. I mean, now you're able to get on a lead order, and now you have momentum on your side. And trust me, being on a lead order is a lot easier than, doing a bunch of senior centers all the time, working aged leads. As good as aged leads can be, a fresh lead is going to be an easier sell. And so, if you're talking about $700 per pop, You know, it's only going to take, you know, 3, 4, 5 sales in order for you to get on a lead order.
So let's switch gears a little bit. What do you guys think about the whole process of cold calling? Have you guys had success with it? How efficient have you been able to be at cold calling? And do you have some kind of system set up to where you have your agents do a certain amount of cold calling every day? Or what do you do with cold calling?
Well, myself, I mean, I never cold called, you know, so I don't have much experience on the final expense side. Now, I will say we have lead generators that do cold calling for our Medicare side of the business. So I can't really go on and answer that question on the final expense side. Maybe Tommy can.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it comes to cold calling. It goes down to that daily grind, right? You know, what are you willing to do to be successful? And, you know, you have to prepare your mindset. You know, there's another book. I can't think of the name of the title off the top of my head right now, but it's a book that I wrote about kind of the way that you kind of establish your goal setting. You know, many of us set a goal of, I want to make 10 sales a week. And, you know, what happens in that process is that they go through and they get to that 7th sale or 6th sale by Monday or Tuesday, you know, by Tuesday. Well, they still got 3 days left in the week. The problem is they've only need 3 more sales, so they start slowing down what they're doing. You know, whereas the book talks about changing your perception of goals to, I want to sell 25 times this week. And then throughout the course of that 25 failures, you end up achieving successes way beyond what your goal would have been had you set it for how many sales you want to make. I think it's the same way with cold calling. You got to realize is that you're going to get beat up quite a bit. And, you know, but through the process of being beat up, you're going to come across a lot of opportunities that'll be there. And, you know, I think cold calling is great when it comes to generating leads. I think it's great when it comes to getting out there. I think cold door knocking is another very valuable skill. I personally don't do that because I think it takes a special person that's got the gumption to just go knock on doors like that. I didn't come from an industry that I learned that skill. So for me, I can do it, but it makes me a little bit nervous, to be honest. But I see plenty of guys that, you know, they'll go out there to an appointment, they get blown off at the door, get porched. Guess what they're doing, man? They're hitting the doors, 3 or 4 doors around that house, and they're making sales.
You got it, man.
You know,
and
I think it just comes to mindset, man, and working hard.
I agree. I think that book that you were referring to is Go for No.
Go for No. That's it right there, brother. That's it. Go for No.
My very first sales book when I got into sales in 2012. Was Go for No. It was a required read.
Yep.
And that's just it, man.
Absolutely.
And they talk about, too, just elaborating on what you guys said a little bit ago, you said you got to fail a whole bunch. Now, that book also talks about the kind of thought process, the dichotomy of failure and success, because it's not, hey, am I going to go over here to the polarized, to the left, and it's all fail, or I'm going to go all the way to the right here, and it's all success, when really what it is, it's a stairway. And there's a whole bunch of failure steps that you need to take in order to get to the succeed part of it. And so it's not you're going to fail or succeed. It's you're going to fail until you succeed. Would you guys agree with that?
1,000%.
Yeah, I mean, any successful person in really any business I know of has gone through their failures. You know, I'm sure Grant Cardone, as good as he is, has probably failed at quite a few things or businesses or ventures or what have you. You know, wasn't that I mean, I can go on and on, and I think Trump, didn't he fail several things and, you know, lose millions? And, you know, I mean, Michael Jordan, I mean, he didn't make his high school basketball team or something like that, you know? So, yeah, I think any person that finds a huge level of success has gone through their downs, there's no doubt.
Well, and not only that, you know, Matt, but think about this. I think, you know, back when I was a police officer, I only worked 14 days a month, and so I had my own small computer repair business there in Louisiana. You know, and I remember, you know, a lot of people, you know, my dream was I want to be in business for myself. And the reality of most business owners is that they make a substantial investment right off the get-go, and they don't actually get into the land of profitability for 3 to 5 years. You know, the beautiful thing about this business is you buy leads, you go out there, your initial investment, you may spend $2,000. And you're in the land of profitability almost immediately, and you never look back. There's not a lot of businesses that you can just invest dollars and a little bit of hard work and sweat and come out in the land of six figures. I mean, most business owners, they have to drop, you know, thousands, tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes to get started into a business, and they don't realize their first profit for years.
Oh, yeah.
You can realize it in weeks in this business.
Oh, yeah. Talk to anybody who's ever opened a beer brewery. They're dumping hundreds of thousands of dollars on a hope. You know, a lot of businesses are like that. You have to, you're exactly right. You have to drop 5, 10, 100,000, 250,000 to start a McDonald's. It's, I think it's 1.5 million. I mean, if you want a guaranteed income, I mean, you want to follow a system. Very few industries allow you to be able to take a small amount of money and a whole lot of work ethic and turn it and multiply and 10x your money.
This has been an amazing show. You guys have dropped some awesome knowledge bombs with us. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. And thank you, listeners, for taking time out of your day to improve your knowledge on how to be a powerhouse in the insurance industry. For more details, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or go to our website at insuranceacademypodcast.com. As always, you can find us on iTunes and subscribe for better access to our content. Make sure to get out there, guys. Take today by the reins and conquer the industry.
And we look forward to seeing you
at the 8% Nation Insurance Conference.
In October.
October.
This year.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Your tickets are on sale right now.
Use promo code ACADEMY at 8%nation.com to get $100 off your ticket price.
That is the number 8%, spelled out, nation.com. Discount code
ACADEMY. We'll talk to you on our next episode.
This has been the Insurance Academy Podcast. For more information, request to join our exclusive agent and producer support group on Facebook at Insurance Academy Podcast.